fall 1 through 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds of the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on him.
He almost took my Bible. Often we make mention about this dark world of sin. And rightfully so, we are surrounded by evil and sin from all aspects of our life. Sometimes in our homes, sometimes in our families, sometimes by our neighbors and our workplaces, and even our country and our surrounding areas. We are surrounded by the darkness of this world. What should we do? Where should we turn? Should we dwell on this negative and dwell on it and say, you know what, we can't have an impact? Tonight, as we look at Paul's ministry in Corinth, it was quite the same. There was evil all around him. But what shined there was the light of the gospel. And tonight we're going to look at the light of the gospel being preserved, the light of the gospel being perverted, and the light of the gospel being preached. As we look at the light of the gospel being preserved, Paul was one who strived to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere he went. Paul was facing opposition everywhere he journeyed to teach the gospel. In fact, we can look at Acts and his missionary journeys and who was always there with him, the Judaizing teachers, those who were in opposition with him. There was also false teachers that were going on, some claiming to be the Messiah, some claiming that teaching against Jesus Christ. You see, Paul faced trials and tribulations. He had every reason to slow down his efforts to teach, but he didn't. He looked at the mercy he received from God, and he used that to persevere in these times. We can look at in chapter 3 in verse 12. It says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we use great boldness of our speech. You see, Paul looked at his life and he looked at the hope that he has in Christ Jesus. And he looked maybe at his former self and he said, you know, I was lost. I had zeal for God, but I didn't have zeal according to knowledge. And he didn't have that knowledge that is in Jesus Christ, that is through God's eternal plan of salvation. And he came to the realization by the teaching of the gospel to him that he, in being obedient, he now has hope. And he uses that hope to embolden him to preach and to teach those that are lost, those that are in darkness. And he uses that as motivation in his ministry to teach people. In verse 4 and verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, and that ministry is that reconciliation that we were lost and now we are saved through Jesus Christ. And since we have that ministry, we do not lose heart. And who is the we there? In the context, it's Timothy and Paul. They're not losing heart, even though they're living in this dark world of sin, even though that there is trials and tribulations, they did not lose heart because they knew the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Those who are Christians, those who have received this mercy, don't lose heart. To us who have been obedient to the gospel, to us as Christians, don't lose heart. A Christian must not let the evil of this world dilute their thinking. And how we dilute our thinking is sometimes looking at the world and thinking, you know, I can't fix it. I can't do anything about it. So therefore, if you can't beat them, join them. We shouldn't dilute our thinking. We shouldn't dilute our thinking that we can take the gospel of Jesus Christ and it not have any effect in this world. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power to salvation. And we as Christians must remember the mercy that we received and use that as a driving force to push through the hard times and use that as a way that we can motivate ourselves to go out and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The light of the gospel will be preserved because it will renounce the hidden things. As we see this, Paul was one who renounced the hidden things of shame. Though the things that were shameful, the things that were sinful, the things that he dealt with in different cities, especially in Corinth, where adultery was abounding, he was going to make the hidden things, he renounced those hidden things as shame. In fact, in John chapter 3, we see, if you would turn there, John chapter 3 in verse 19, Jesus going about and teaching, he says this same thing. And this is the condemnation in verse 19, that the light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You see, Jesus was going about and teaching and leading people to him. We know that Jesus is the light. And he was teaching people and telling them that the people hate light. Why do they hate light? Because it exposes them from their sin. It brings light to the evil that is around. We look at the simple example of street lights. The history of the street light was to expose those who were intruding homes in the darkness. You put a street light, it helps the crime rate go down. Same thing with Jesus. He is the light. In God, in his word, exposes those that are evil. And some will practice evil, they hate the light. But others who are in the darkness see the light and want to come to the light. You see, Paul was teaching the light of the gospel and how it needs to shine, how it needs to be combated. Paul combated those who walked in craftiness by teaching the purity of the gospel. We too must combat and preserve the purity of the light of the gospel because the gospel has been perverted. We don't have to go very far to see how there is a perversion of the gospel, a perversion of God's word. There is those that are claiming they have received a revelation from God, and we know that that has been done away with. We know that the last revelation is Jesus Christ. And those that they're claiming that they saw visions and saw something like that, those are false things. Those are false things, and there are people that are perverting that. And it was that was happening in Paul's time, perversion of the gospel, maybe saying that the Christ has already come, maybe saying teaching against Paul. But Paul also was accused of this, but he renounced such accusations and turned it on them. Some handled the word of God deceitfully, but Paul was not one of them. Paul refused to practice cunning or tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth. And we look at verse 2, it says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth." When we look at that manifestation of the truth, it stands first in the Greek sentence for emphasis. It's by an open or straightforward presentation of the gospel of truth. Paul commends himself to his listeners. He's saying, "I presented you the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. I did not do it out of deceit. I didn't do it for any selfish reasons. I brought you the message from God without any perversion." The light of the gospel is being perverted by the same manner today. What should we do to combat the error? What we need to do is to teach the whole counsel of God. We need to preach the truth in love. We don't need to give up or give in, but we need to make a stand and stand upon God's word, upon the promises that are in God's word. We, as the body of Christ, need to unite and stand firm in God's word. We need not to be complacent. We don't want to be complacent of God's word and just say, "Well, you know what? We can't change. We can't change society. We can't change our town. We can't change our country." Well, it's not we that makes the change. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes the change in people's hearts. What are we to do is we're to take that to them. And if we're taking that to them, that will change their hearts and their minds. And if they accept it and they follow it, then what does that make? That makes them come to the light. And that makes for a better society. It makes for a better world. But all we have the responsibility to do is take that gospel out to the world. Now we see in verse 3, Paul says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. We do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." You see that there are some that do not believe. There are some that will not follow. There are some that the gospel is veiled. And we may think about that, and how is it veiled? Well, it is veiled by the God of this age. The God of this age is Satan. He is the one that is veiling the gospel. How is he doing that? He's blinding their eyes. Jesus in John chapter 12 talks about this as well. John chapter 12, Jesus is teaching those that have come to the feast. And in John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus says, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When we see this, earlier in John, Jesus said that he is the light. It is referred to Jesus as the light. And he is there in the flesh. He is there teaching them. And he says, "I'm while I'm here, follow me. While I'm here, stay with me. While I'm here, stay in this light, lest darkness takes over you." You see, he was warning them. And he explained to them what darkness is. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Now, that's a very obvious statement, and it's very true. You turn off all the lights and there's complete darkness. We may memorize certain things and patterns of our home and we can walk through darkness. But what happens when someone pulls out a chair and leaves it pulled up? You know what happens? We stumble over that chair because we don't know exactly where we're going. The same way with our life. If we're walking in darkness, we don't understand where we're going. There is an eternal heaven and there is eternal hell. If we are not in the light, we are on a destination to that eternal hell. There are people that are dying that have not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people who are not prepared to go into eternity because they are in darkness. You see, Jesus spoke these things in John chapter 12, but it's also said, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. You see, we see that there was people that lived at the time of Jesus that did not believe in him. They saw firsthand Jesus healing people. They saw firsthand Jesus turning the water into wine. They saw firsthand the miraculous things that Jesus has done. And yet, they did not believe. Why? I don't quite understand it, but I understand this, that Satan is powerful and we need to be careful. He has blinded their eyes and their hearts and the deluded and veiled the gospel. But that is why we need to go out and teach people. Jesus continued to teach people about himself. He did not, in fact, he went to the cross. He died for each and every one that they may have hope in him. As we see that even Isaiah said, who has believed our message? There are some that he prophesied that there would be some who saw Jesus and were with Jesus, and yet they did not believe. But Isaiah saw the glory of the Messiah and he spoke of him. He spoke of him. And that is what the light of the gospel should be preached. The light of the gospel must be preached. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 5 and 6. It says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus Christ. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel was preached so that the light will shine in that darkness. It'll shine on those who are living in darkness, and so that they can be obedient to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they can come out of darkness to the light. Jesus Christ must be preached by those who were in the light. Like Isaiah, he saw the glory of the Christ and he spoke of him. Paul did the same. He saw in himself the path of destruction he was headed until he learned of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Was taught to him and he became obedient. And what do we see him doing? We see him going all over spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we see then in verse 7, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." And we see this, we have to understand what the treasure is. The treasure is the gospel of the glory of Christ. It is of great worth. It is something valuable. It's considered a treasure. And it is something that should be treasured. And it's something that we should treasure as well. And it's treasured in earthen vessels. And earthen vessels in the context was the apostles. But it's also those who were taking the gospel out. We have a treasure in the gospel and in those that are taking the gospel out to this world. The apostles were those who did it at that time. We see throughout the world that they need to hear the gospel, and we need to take it to them. It comes, and it's not the power of man, it's the power of God. And we think of that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." The gospel is powerful. Powerful enough to change hearts and change minds. And we see Paul, as he went out and preached to this dark world, we see in verse 8 through 13 what he went through. He said, "We were hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We were perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to the death of Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life is in you. And since you have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed, and therefore I spoke.' We also believe, and therefore we speak." You see, Paul was telling them, you know, yes, I was hard pressed. I was hard pressed on every side, but it wasn't going to destroy him. He was going to preach and teach the gospel. Yes, there was people that were persecuting him there, and he was going through trials and tribulation, but he wasn't destroyed. It wasn't going to affect his heart. He was not going to lose heart. In fact, he says, always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus. He brought in memory. He brought an illustration here. It's like he was carrying around the body of Jesus because he was had that in his memory. And don't we do that on the first day of the week? We take that and remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we do that in memory of him, what he has done for each and every one of us. And we take that and we do that for ourselves so we can remember Jesus. And we do it in thanksgiving, but we do it for ourselves as well, for the sake that we keep our mortal flesh free from sin. We remember that so we don't sin. That we remember that so we remember the sacrifice, so therefore we don't go out and live in sin anymore. And then it should be also our motivation that Jesus died, was buried and resurrected because of my sin. And what should we do? We realize that we were once in that darkness. That we were once in that darkness that was not a light shining for God, but in darkness. And we had to come to the knowledge of God and to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how was that done? Through the written word of God. We have it here, and it is so that we can read it and understand it. But we also need to take that light of the gospel that has been preserved. Yeah, it may have been perverted, and may still be perverted at times in this world. We know that it is because we see so much religious division out there. We know that there is one body, and that body is the body of Jesus Christ. And we as a congregation and as members of that body, we need to strive to continue in that, remembering what Jesus has done for us and preserving that in this world through the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. So how are we going to handle the light of the gospel? Are we going to take the gospel? Are we going to let the perversion of the gospel continue? Or are we going to take the light of the gospel into this dark world? You see, that's the question each of you, each of us, need to answer. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and know that you have not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know that you can make that change. Make that change tonight and become obedient to the gospel. Come to that light, out of darkness to light. Be obedient to the gospel by believing in Jesus Christ, by confessing that He is the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here tonight and you haven't done that, I encourage you to take the opportunity that is before you right now and become obedient to the gospel. Or maybe you're here and you've been struggling with sin and you want to repent of that. If we can help you tonight with your relationship with God, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.